This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, I'm Roshan Kunnison and you're now listening to The Breakfast Grill. Like all industries in the country, film production and the arts had come to a screeching halt over the last few months, with many out of work as they are unable to continue shooting or performing in public. To explore the extent of the damage here and how we move forward in this recovery period and beyond, this morning I'm speaking with Dato' Nomar Abdul Halim, Deputy Chairman of the National Film Development Corporation Malaysia, more commonly known as FINAS, as well as Izan Sachrina, CEO of the Cultural Development Agency, more commonly known as Cendana. To the both of you, welcome to The Breakfast Grill.
Hi, Roshan.
Hi.
So let's just start with the impact of COVID-19 and the subsequent MCO. Industries across the country were forced to shut down as the country battled the pandemic. Dato, let's start with you. How much damage was caused to your respective filming industry?
Well, mainly for filming, we can actually reschedule the actual filming date. But when it comes to the production of TV shows, generally we have a rough estimate, a loss of roughly about 1.5 million ringgit a day. This is the kind of outsourced businesses that actually is being awarded to production houses to produce TV content. And from that transaction, we actually spiral down to the engagement of actors and cast and crew. And this is excluding the loss that is made by cinemas. As far as cinemas are concerned, the daily losses is estimated around 2 million ringgit a day.
Right. And Izan, Cendana looks at the performing arts, visual arts and music as well, particularly, I think, in small and medium-sized public spaces. What's the damage been like in those spaces?
So we conducted a survey in March 19th to about second week of April. And had more than 500 participants in it, mainly performing artists, then visual artists, and independent musicians. And from the survey, we identified that 93% of our artists are negatively impacted. 76% of their programs, whether it's exhibitions, shows, residencies, are all postponed or canceled. And 70% of them, because of this, have lost all or most of their income. So from this, they're not able to put food on the table, and most of them, to be precise, 57% of them, depend on the income from the arts to support their family first. Cendana's also just completed a second survey, and we have had more than 700 participants involved in this, but it's measuring Malaysian audiences' propensity to return to arts activities and venues. And we've done this in collaboration with some key arts organizations and live events promoters, organizations like PR Worldwide, KLPAC, PinangPAC, Ilham Gallery, Sabah Art Gallery, and more. So during this survey, we've realized that 91% of the existing Malaysian audiences that go to such events do not feel safe leaving their homes. And they are most likely to resume to visit art galleries, art centers, and theater spaces after 6 months. So we need to bear that in mind when we do some of our interventions and support for the artists.
Right. I think it's very clear to see from both your numbers that there's been actual damage done on the ground, and also there's a psychological damage in terms of how we get people back to work, get people back in terms of the audience numbers. So now that we're starting to further reopen the economy in this RMCO phase, SOPs have been announced for specific industries. But there is an argument that some of these SOPs can be quite burdensome. Now, what do you think about this in terms of the balance that needs to be struck between restarting the economy and managing safety? Dato, maybe we can start with you.
Yes, as far as the filming is concerned, it is quite challenging for the production to get to work again, mainly because there are certain conditions that needs to be adhered to. And but it's understandable. I think it's for the safety of the cast and crew. I think it's very important for us to follow the SOP as it is. The other issue that we are trying to address is actually the reopening of cinemas, because a lot of, I think there's estimated over 20 or 30 films right now, local films being affected. Some of the films were actually in the middle of screening, in the first week of screening when the lockdown was enforced. this is a problem. But however, we need to understand that this is also for the safety of the public and also the cast and crew while filming. And it is something that we just have to accept as a new norm.
All right, Izan, let's talk about the cultural economy then. How do we strike a balance between restarting that economy and managing safety?
Well, I think our first intent is to open the arts spaces immediately, but we are in process in drafting with multiple arts organizations, promoters, the business councils, the Ministry of Communications and Multimedia, and working with them to ensure that the SOP that we propose is realistic and pragmatic for our communities to implement. And these conversations are also carried out with Ministry of Health and eventually brought up to the National Security Council. So what's quite common across all the SOPs, whether it's a drive-in cinema SOP, whether it's a business events, a live concert, or an arts and culture theater space sort of setting, is that we are looking at approximately 30% of space for anyone to come in. So realistically, if you look at 250 pax seating, you're looking at 75 pax attending the event. Now, this sort of information is crucial for our artists and organizers so they can plan ahead what they can present and what can't, because it has to be cost effective as well for them. But at this point of time, we just want to open the space and make sure that our communities are well-versed in what needs to be done. Yes, it can be quite mafan, but the safety of the consumers and audiences are most important because, as mentioned earlier on, 91% of them don't feel safe leaving their homes. So we need to make sure we take all sort of necessary precautions to ensure they enjoy the shows.
Right. And just moving forward, filmmakers, artists and musicians and the supporting staff that help make their work come to life have all been impacted and many of them out of work. Now, as the local scene begins to restart and people go back to work, are we going to be able to recover all the jobs and work that was lost before, or are there going to be some jobs that just never come back?
I think the community in the creative industry will also need to find alternative source of revenue for the time being, you know, in order to make up for the shortfall, for the opportunities lost and the reduction of opportunities that we will encounter for the next, hopefully just a few months. But I would say that there are new methods of doing production. However, you know, under this SOP, I mean, there is also a challenge for the filmmakers to produce content with basically no contact between actors. I'm not talking about we're going to have anything, you know, obscene or anything like that, but we're talking about action sequences, for example. I mean, those are it requires physical contact between actors. So this will impact on the kind of stories that will be produced during this period. But like I said, you know, the creative community will have to be creative about, you know, finding new source of revenue apart from depending purely on the traditional way of generating their to support their livelihood through acting or even singing. And I guess, you know, as everybody's going digital, I think, you know, they should consider and see how they can capitalize on various digital platforms to monetize their skills and or even their goodwill in terms of perhaps they can even help to sell products if they don't produce their own products themselves.
Right. And Izan, what about you? Are we going to be able to recover the lost jobs and opportunities in the cultural economy?
You know, one thing about the arts is that the best thing when experiencing the arts is that it needs to be done physically. And that has always been the challenge during the MCO on how some of our communities need to transition their content online. The intimacy is lacking. However, some have been successful in putting their content online. They have found ways to also monetize it via their strong following. So kudos to them. And I know it's not easy during this period. And, you know, you're right, jobs are lost. Some we can't recover. And it's really hard, especially sometimes when the private sector has held back all their grants during this period. So you don't see a lot of support for the artists. And hence why in April at that time, we had rolled out, I believe, 6-7 different funding programs just to support them and ensure that they continue creating art, writing new pieces. and just getting them active at homes as well. In our second stage of supporting the artists, we have just released the recharge schemes that's part of the Penjana announcement recently with an allocated a 10 million grant. And with that grant, we are going to look into supporting our artists in terms of their resilience and in innovation if they have new ways of doing work so as to ensure in the next 6 months, there will be some revenue for them to keep going.
Right. And now on that note, we're going to go into a few messages right now. When we come back, we'll be talking about the role of technology as well as how we can move forward. You're listening to The Breakfast Grill on BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Welcome back to the Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Kunnison. This morning, we are exploring the state of the filmmaking and art scene in the country and the impact of COVID-19. And I'm speaking to Dato' Norman Abdul Halim, Deputy Chairman of the National Film Development Corporation Malaysia, otherwise known as FINAS, and Izan Satrina, CEO of the Cultural Economy Development Agency, more commonly known as Cendana. With the advancement in technology like streaming and digital platforms, it has made it easier to publish content and art. But with that, the competition landscape changes. Has this had a bigger positive or negative effect on our local scenes? Dato, could we start with you?
Yes, we see new platforms coming up. And I see that there's opportunities that the creative community can start to monetize in a new form or new platform, rather than depending on traditional ways of monetizing their skills. But at the same time, it is not happening as fast as we hope for. And in terms of monetization, it is not going to replace directly in terms of how they would traditionally generate their income. So we hope that there'll be more new platforms. We hope there'll be other ways that the creative community be able to monetize their skills. But for now, I think what Izan just said just now, I think it's survival mode for everyone.
And Izan, what about you? How can artists and musicians go online?
The thing that we have seen behind the pandemic is that it's brought all of the artists together. And one beautiful thing about the artists is that they will always thrive and survive during good days and bad days, without funding and with funding. So in our second survey that I mentioned earlier on, we noticed that during the MCO, there has been an increase in appetite in terms of watching concerts online, then theater performances and dance performances. We also tried to measure how they felt about it, whether it provides engagement and excitement for audiences. And 73% of them said, it's just average. Nearly 50% are not likely to resume consuming arts online.
You mentioned earlier that the private sector has been pulling out or reprioritizing a lot of their funding. Now, with that in mind, this 10 million ringgit from the Penjana economic package that we saw recently is going to become even more important for artists. How are you going to ensure that the resources are being pointed towards the right directions? What's the process going to look like?
So we have started various conversations. We have our engagements with our industry advisory panel that sits on Cendana. And we've just recently concluded a conversation with about 150 artists, Malaysia nationwide, and some intermediaries as well, because we want to make sure that we also get on the ground and we're able to help the makciks and pakciks on the side who are doing different works, but they don't have access to laptops or Wi-Fi, and therefore not able to fill up any forms or have any understanding what sort of data we need for them to fill up. So we have to work with various intermediaries or NGOs to ensure that we actually speak to a wider group of artists. From the 10 million ringgit that Penjana has allocated to Cendana, we are absolutely grateful because sometimes during the good times, pun kadang susah nak dapat support for the arts. And so we're really glad that this came through. So with that funding, we're able to continue supporting artists with our existing programs, our existing funding programs. We are going to introduce three new funding programs in addition to different training, post-COVID-19 training programs, mentorship programs, and cultural leadership programs, so that we're able to support our artists in various ways to ensure that there is an arts ecosystem left after the restrictions are fully lifted.
Right. And Dr. Norman, on the FINAS side, I think you've outlined four immediate steps to help the film industry in response to the pandemic. This includes things from rental discounts to funding some content. But is this going to be enough to restart the movie production business, or is more needed, maybe in terms of direct cash or grants?
Well, we have this grant that we're managing on behalf of the Ministry of Communication and Multimedia. We are the administrator of the funds. It's called Dana Kandungan Kreatif. We have received quite a number of applications, and we're processing the application now. Hopefully that we'll be able to actually get the industry to start working again, I mean, in the next few months. So that's one. I mean, that's always been allocated all this while, but it's just that, you know, any specific funding for post-MCO, we're looking at other avenues in terms of raising such funds. But most importantly is that we're also preparing for the RMK-12, which is more of a longer-term program. And we have to take into consideration of the challenges that we're facing now during this pandemic era. I mean, we really don't know when exactly that we'll be totally out of it. So we hope that, you know, whatever has been proposed by FINAS to the government will actually get certain consideration, as we need to actually develop or redevelop the industry, especially to attract foreign investors as well as to stimulate the growth of the economy through training and so on. So I guess it is beyond this post-MCO recovery plan. I think whatever we've actually mapped out for the post-MCO is pretty much there. Now it's actually planning what's going to happen in 2021 onwards.
So, Dr., with that in mind, now, whenever it comes to deploying public funds, there is always a certain level of financial accountability and transparency that is expected. In previous times, Auditor General reports have flagged certain issues with management at FINAS. Going forward, how are you going to raise confidence in FINAS's ability to manage the finances and stimulate the film industry in this country?
Yes. I think we discussed this at the board level recently. We got to make sure in terms of how do we audit the whatever is being proposed during the pitching session actually really translates into what you see on screen. And that's one area that I think we need to improve on in terms of looking at whatever budget is being spent, is actually you can really get to see that kind of quality on screen. Secondly, is apart from the audit, we also need to look at how do we cap certain kind of expenditure. Like, for example, you know, for another fund that is under FINAS, it's called Filming in Malaysia Incentive. So there's a salary cap for the kind of people who work in the industry in terms of what they can claim in terms of getting the rebate from FINAS. So similarly, under the DKD, Dana Kandungan Digital, we can do something similar as well. I mean, try to actually cap on the salaries of the people that we hire. It's still up to the producer if they want to spend more than what is being allocated. But we pretty much know what it takes to produce a high-quality film. So this is something that we need to look into. I think, you know, having industry experts on the board of director in FINAS would actually help.
Right, and I guess a particularly thorny issue right now is going to be the fact that there are plenty of industries and businesses that are hurting in the country right now. Why is it important that we support filmmaking and the cultural economy instead of prioritizing those resources to other areas? Dato, could you maybe tell us about the importance of supporting the film industry to the economy?
Well, look at it this way. I think you know, the creative industry can actually contribute beyond just the percentage of GDP that we can contribute to the national income. Why I say that is because we talk about the creative industry and the cultural economy, we tend to get the spillover effect on tourism. We get a spillover effect on building investors' confidence to actually invest in Malaysia. We can look at, you know, many other ways in terms of how we can benefit from, you know, producing popular content, you know, using, look at Korea, for example. I mean, that's always the best example. I mean, it took them 20 years to be where they are now, winning an Oscar, having one of the biggest boy band in the world, BTS, and having, you know, a series of success, not only in true music, but also their TV shows on OTT platforms, concerts, you know. So that somehow or other helps Korea to build, you know, other sectors of the industry. So it is more like a partly also branding for the country. So I would say that this is why it's important to actually put some emphasis on the creative economy. As we know, we are also being earmarked as one of the key economic growth areas under the Shared Prosperity Vision 2030, we have a lot of synergy with the technology aspects in terms of how we roll out certain kind of offerings. And I think that technology, the IoT, cultural economy, digital economy, and creative industry all work hand in hand.
And in reference specifically to the economy, Dato, do you have a number for us in terms of the contribution?
Then the number right now is actually quite, I get information is between 0.3% to 3%. So I don't really have the actual data at this point of time. I hope that we'll be able to actually address this, because one of the key issues at Finance is also to compile these numbers, to actually have the database of the industry players. These are the things that we need to look into and to see how we can actually nurture and grow the industry. Like, for example, I mean, we know the data on the box office sales, which is average about a billion ringgit a year, but probably only about 10 to 15% is actually for the local films. So the unfortunately, we don't have any data beyond that, you know, at Finas. You know, we hope that we'll be able to know, you know, what sells on Astro or Media Prima and on all these OTT players, on Netflix, on Viu and so on. So the thing is, there's many ways to track our numbers. And I think, you know, and that's only the direct income. How about the spillover and the indirect, the income that we actually generate for the economy as a whole? I mean, like, for example, when we talk about concerts, for example, you know, when you organize a concert, there's, you know, the spillover on the F&B industry, on tourism and so on. So I would say that the direct contribution is actually within that range. It's still considering that, you know, we have high expectation, it's still very low. Compared to the US, I think the GDP contribution for the from the creative industry is something in the range of 8% to the national economy. So we should aim higher. I mean, we should go beyond that 0.3% to that 3%. But we just have to actually start compiling our data and so that we'll be able to give more accurate number.
Right. And Izan, over to you now. Why is it important that we support the cultural economy instead of prioritizing resources to other areas? What's the contribution to the Malaysian economy?
So for Malaysia, Dr. Norman is absolutely right. Data is very hard to find. So the latest data that we could ascertain was in year 2015, of which the GDP for the creative economy for Malaysia was 1.9%. And more than 378,000 people are employed in this industry because it provides 22.1 billion in revenue. Now that's in terms of nationwide context. But if you look in Klang Valley, when we did a research in 2016, we ascertained that Klang Valley itself had contributed 11.2 billion in revenue. So that's more than 50% of the GDP. And in terms of workforce, 86,000. People are currently employed in Klang Valley. So it's a huge chunk. It contributes 11.2 billion in itself and should not be ignored. I think what we need to continue doing is making sure of two things. There is consistency in terms of our support for the arts or the creative industries in terms of policy, in terms of funding, in terms of infrastructure. And two is implementation. The implementation of any policies or support that we give to the sector needs to be done smartly, needs to be done based on data and making sure we hit the right points.
All right. On that note, I'd like to thank both of you for joining me on The Grill today.
Thanks, Roshan.
Thanks, Roshan.
I was speaking with Datuk Norman Abdul Halim, Deputy Chairman of the National Film Development Corporation Malaysia, otherwise known as FINAS, and Izan Satrina, CEO of the Cultural Economy Development Agency, more commonly known as Cendana. This was The Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Gunnison for BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.